Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Lord, we thank you for the women in our lives who have spoken in and made such a difference. Lord, for the times where we were loved when we were quite unlovable. Lord, we're just so grateful to all the moms, all the women in this church, Lord, who have done such an incredible job at loving this church family and who love their families. And Lord, we ask for a blessing on all the moms and all the moms who are in other places with their kids. And Lord, we ask for a blessing on all the moms today, Lord. We ask that today would be a day of joy, that it would be a day of celebration. Lord, we think of those who today is a day of some reminders of some hurt. And Lord, we ask for a special blessing on them. And Father, for all the wonderful mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers that have gone on, Lord, we thank you for them. And we thank you for the impact they've had in our lives, Lord. Now, as we come to your word, Father, we ask that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to hear from you, from the truth of your word, Lord. I just pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead, I would follow. And Lord, that we would see the truth of your word impact our lives in ways that cause us to change some things in our lives from the inside out. Lord, bless us to make us a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we are continuing with the seven churches from the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. And today we're on our fourth church. And it's been interesting. The first church, Ephesus, what was the message? What was the theme? Don't let your love for Jesus grow cold. Keep him as your first love. To the church of Smyrna, Jesus said, don't fear being persecuted by the world. Don't fear it. Persecution comes, but you have hope and strength and love in Christ Jesus. And to Pergamum, Jesus said, trust the word of God to keep you strong and faithful. And today, we hit the church of Thyatira. And Thyatira was a worldly church. It starts at very interesting, but as we look at these seven letters to these seven churches in the book of Revelation, remember, I think it's helpful to remember that they are a picture of seven different kinds of churches that you'll find during any period in time. And the reason that Jesus chose these seven was because they show a specific area that Jesus wants all the churches to know. That this is the things that go right in these kind of churches, and these are the challenges to certain kinds of churches, and what to do about those challenges, what to do about those areas of sin, how to deal with the problems in church life. Because, you know, there's that saying that if you ever find the perfect church, don't become a part of it because you'll just mess it up. Because the problem with churches is it's full of people like us. And we're broken. And so we don't have all the answers. We don't do everything right. And so, man, we've got to have a whole lot of grace for each other. We've got to have a whole lot of understanding. Thyatira was located about 35 miles southeast of Pergamum. So we're basically hitting this circle going around as we're hitting these churches. And it was a very small city, but it was a busy commercial center. And it was on a major road of the Roman Empire. And because of this, many trade unions had settled in the city. And everyone who worked there was a member of one of the trades that was there. There were carpenters and dryers and sellers of goods and tent makers, dyers. It was difficult to make a living as a Christian in Thyatira without being part of a union. You actually couldn't do it. You had to be part of a union to be a part of what was going on, of the workforce there. And this is a fact that will soon become very, very important in our study of this church. Let's hit it. So in Revelation 2, starting in verse 18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnishing bronze. I love how it starts here. It says, notice this is the first and only time in the book of Revelation where it uses the title, the Son of God. The Son of God. This is Jesus speaking to the church, and he's saying, these are the words of the Son of God. This is just one more area in the New Testament. A lot of people like to say, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And this is another one of those times, and the only time in the book of Revelation. But there are people, this means that that with the Son of God, it means that he's focusing on what here? His deity. His deity. Jesus is focusing on his deity. The Son of God has eyes blazing, like blazing fire, eyes that can pierce the disguises and all the false postures and pretensions that we put up and get right to the heart of what's going on. These blazing eyes see everything. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. He knows more than we do. Isn't that amazing? When we see our own lives, have you ever kind of been talking about yourself to somebody else, and especially like a family member? We've got some family here. Have you ever been talking with family members and you're remembering things, and as you're sharing, a family member says, excuse me? What world are you living in? Often we see things, we remember things kind of from our vision, from how we see it. And it's not necessarily reality. It's not necessarily a lie, but it's not necessarily reality. It's our vision of what's going on. But he has these eyes that are like a blazing fire, and he sees everything with purity and clear understanding. And then it goes on to say he has feet like burnishing bronze, which can be an example of trampling sin underfoot and severely punishing that which is wrong. So he's got eyes that see everything, and he's got feet that stamp out the sin and deal with it. You see, God loves us enough to say, you know what? Let's deal with the sin in your life. God doesn't wink at sin. Oh, it's all right. No big deal. Everybody sins. No worries. We're good. He loves us enough. He has that parental love to say, I want to help you through this. I don't want you to struggle and suffer with this anymore. And he has these feet which trample sin underfoot. And both are needed in this church. This church is a mess. But it starts out pretty well. There are some good things that are going on in the church. Starting in verse 19, our Lord tells us, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. That's a pretty good start. Guys, this is one of the worst churches that we're going to hit of all seven. This is the one he condemns the hardest in some ways. And it starts out pretty good. It's a successful church. It's a church that has a lot of members and is doing a lot of things. I know your deeds, your love. Those are related. Love leads to what? Service. When we love people, we serve them, we help them out, we get involved in their lives. And faith, it says, your love and faith, your service and your perseverance. Love leads to service, and faith leads to perseverance. Faith means, as the challenges keep coming, I persevere in my faith because my faith is real. As the hits come and as the situations around me get harder, I lean harder on my faith to get me through what's going on in life. If you love God, you'll serve his people. You can't help it. You got to do it. And if you have faith, you will persevere. You will keep going. So here was a church that had many people that loved God and served his people. They had this faith in his word and they persevered. And that's the way the church grows. And that's what was happening in this church. It had grown and grown and grown. And if you'd been there at this church, you'd have been greatly impressed. Its wheels were spinning at full throttle. It was moving forward. It was impacting the community. It had lots of people in the community involved in the church. It was busy and bustling and active. It was a very attractive church. But now, the blazing eyes of Jesus that see everything, those blazing eyes and the burning feet go into action. We begin to learn deeper, more intimate facts about what's going on in this church. In starting in verse 20. Nevertheless, you always know, man, it's not going to go well after that, especially in these chapters that we're covering. He always starts off with the positive, and then it comes. Nevertheless, or the church before, but this I have against you. And you know. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. Jezebel. We've known about a Jezebel back before, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to animals. I have given her time to repent of her immorality. But she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Whoo! Guys, this is pretty intense. How would you like to be this woman? Now, first of all, evidently there was a woman in the church, and she was a very dominant leader. She had a lot of pull, a lot of say. When she spoke, people in the church listened, and Jesus names her here Jezebel. Now, her name is not Jezebel. If you look into the wording, the way it's written, her name isn't Jezebel. Jesus calls her Jezebel. Why? Because he wants them to remember what Jezebel means. And so he says, this Jezebel, it's not her name. But he picks that name specifically for her. He chose it as the name of the most evil woman in the Old Testament. Now, first of all, I want to apologize that on Mother's Day, we're talking about the most evil woman. So what I am teaching is, this is the opposite of the heart of the mother. All right? Are we okay there? I was thinking about this. I was, oh, Lord. On Mother, should I have done a special break from the series? This is everything that a mother's heart is not. It's everything a mother's heart is not. The Old Testament Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Sidon. This is who she's named after, who Jesus wants her and the people around her to be thinking of. She was the wife of King Ahab of Israel, the northern kingdom. She is known for, the Old Testament Jezebel, is known for having made the worship of the god of Baal popular in Israel, a false god. Baal was a god of fertility, and his worship involved gross sexual, immoral practices. There were temple prostitutes, both male and female, associated with worship of Baal. And it was Jezebel who spread that worship among the 10 tribes until it became part of their religion. It seeps in and it gets in. She was the one who tried to kill Elijah after his famous with over 400 prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel. When fire came down, remember, he goes against all these prophets and he's going to show that God is great, and he does, and he pours water on this big sacrifice and it burns up anyway because God speaks after all these religious men and prophets come and try and do the same for Baal. And nothing happens. And after this great victory where God is seen as, wow, God did the impossible. What happens after this great victory? The mighty man of God had faced all these prophets, but when Jezebel comes after him, right afterwards, he runs away. He's terrified of her. Guys, one of the times that we're most vulnerable is after a victory. Have you ever had those times and then everything falls apart? What in the world happened? Man, we've always got to have our armor on. We've got to always be prepared. We've always got to be ready. But she was this ruthless and immoral seducer of the people. And she was powerful. Guys, I want to encourage all churches. We need to be aware that leadership is what Jim was talking about this morning, servant leadership. And for the church to be healthy, we need to not have people saying, follow me, get on my table, get with me, and we're gonna get a portion of this church under our control. That's not unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Guys, there's a lot of ways for us to start going after each other rather than after sin. And, man, the heart of Jezebel says, it's about me. It's about false worship. It's about the pleasures of the moment. And that's why Jesus selected this name for this dominant, destructive woman. This Jezebel, she called herself a prophetess. And guys, it's not that she was a woman and calling herself a prophetess. We know from Scripture that there were many women in the Word of God that are mentioned that are prophets. So it's not her gender. It's not being a woman that's wrong. It's her false teaching that's wrong. Our Lord points out what this teaching was. She taught that it was all right for Christians to indulge in sexual immorality and idolatry. She taught that it was good. And here's the link between the trade unions of that church at that time. In order to work in these unions, which really constituted the whole entire business of the city, Christians had to join a union. They had to be a part of it. And the meetings of these unions were devoted to the worship of exotic idols in the Greek world. So as you get together for the meeting, you come, and the first thing that happens is you have a toast to the gods. And then there's a lot of drinking and eating of food that was used as a sacrifice to idols. And then whatever happens in the sexual area. And it was these times of what they would call worship. With the prostitutes, both male and female. It was gross. And she taught that it was not only okay, but that it was good and that it was needed. If you're going to be successful in business, you have to make certain sacrifices. That's the lie of the world today. It's no different than it was back then. Nothing's changed. If you want to be successful, you can't be moral and true and right. That's a lie. That is a lie. Will it be harder to get started? Will it take time? Yes. Are there quick roads that will get you there faster that cost you your soul? Yes. Business is business. Business is business. If business practices collide with your Christian principles, we know one of them has to budge. And her teaching was, man, you have to make a living. You have to make it work. And so it's okay to participate. Actually, it's good to participate. You're connecting with the community. Guys, have you heard this kind of thought process at work? Have you ever been told, you need to look the other way? This can't come out. You know, if you're a part of this team, you're a part of this team. And if you're going to work for us, you need to do what's best for the business. So when you see things that look a little iffy, don't ask questions. It happens today all the time, doesn't it? Christians are asked or told or demanded, you know what? You need to look the other way or you will lose your job. Guess what? If you honor God, you'll probably lose your job. I wish there was a really neat thing I could say from that God will step in and that person will be fired and you will be lifted up. Might not happen. Might happen. But probably is going to happen is if you stand up in an area and it comes out, and you might lose your job. There are times where we're asked to sacrifice for what is right. And we serve a Savior who showed us what that looks like. That we serve a God who said, I'm willing to go to the cross and die and be separated eternally perfect in an eternally perfect relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit in perfect union with each other. And for 3 days, that separation occurred. Why? Because sin had to be dealt with. Notice that the Lord holds the church responsible. His accusation to them is, you tolerate that woman, Jezebel. It's not here she is, it's you're listening to her. You're not dealing with the problem. Guys, pray for your church leaders because it's hard to deal with challenges. Because we want to be holy and we want to do what's right and we want to be loving and we want to be truthful. And getting all those things in the right place and emphasizing the right thing at the right time is very, very difficult. It's a really big challenge. But the problem that the church leadership has to face, it isn't different than it was back then. And so we have to always be ready. We may find that strange, but actually, in this whole area, notice the Lord links sexual immorality with idolatry. Sexual immorality with idolatry. One thing inevitably leads to the next. Whatever you are living for, whatever makes life worthwhile to you, guess what it becomes? What you worship, what you need, what you value, what's most important. It may be the God of pleasure, even sexual pleasure. It might be some other things. It might be wealth. It might be the God of power. The need, the desire for ambition and success. Maybe just to have things your way. Maybe the search for fame, success, being noticed. We've got all these phones. So many of the devices on the phones are to make people live these virtual lives. And we're teaching our young people to, it's all about me. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And so much of what we do is based on this whole idea of put out there that you're having this fun, successful, incredible life. And as you look online, as you see these things come up, nobody has any problems online. It's all these wonderful things and all these famous people doing amazing things. But then if you walk through the grocery store and you see the magazines, all those same lives are falling apart. I don't know what to believe. Well, I think I do. Guys, where we work, there's a lot of pressure to compromise. Where we work, there's a lot of pressure to compromise, to go along with the standards of the world. But in Christ, we're called to stand apart, to stand on the truth and the love of Christ. Even if it costs us, even if it costs us a lot. Whatever you are living for, whatever makes life worthwhile to you, it does become your God. And so I want to say this. There are three areas that it talks about here, three areas of that are involved in this punishment for this. And we'll read about it here starting in verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality, the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways, and I will strike her children dead. There's three areas. Listen, first, Jezebel herself. I will cast her on a bed of suffering. And guys, there's a little irony here. What is she promoting? This sexual, the bed being misused. And he's saying, I'm going to cast her on a bed of a different kind. It's a bed of suffering. A bed of suffering. Agonizing pain and hurt. Then there's a second group. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. There are consequences to sin. And whether you are the one enticing others to sin or you are the one giving in, there are consequences. And it says here what they are. And the third is this. The Lord says, I will strike her children to death. Because children represent those who not only practice immorality, but who teach it as well, as Jezebel is doing. The death here refers to, I believe, spiritual death. Spiritual death. But notice, and this is the beautiful part, notice the good news. Unless they repent of her ways, our Lord always gives us an opportunity to repent. Because even in this situation, where it's gone so far, what is being said? I've given her opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity. Repent. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. The result of judgment and discipline within the church is that the church cleansed. Because the reason, now this is something that's very important. Church discipline. That sounds awful, doesn't it? It's no fun. It's one of the worst parts of the job of being a pastor is having to be a part of that. What does it mean that we come down and we, no, it means that's how it can be perceived if it's not done right. In churches where the leadership misuses their authority, that's how it looks. It's outside of relationship. It's truth without love. But we're called to bring the truth in love. And so if a brother or sister is struggling, guess what? The word disciple disciple comes from the word to teach. And so, the word disciple comes from what? To discipline. So we're to train and teach and discipline. We're to bring up each other in the church. We're to train and equip each other in the truth of the Word of God. And that means we lovingly, in relationship, come alongside each other. That means when I'm struggling, I can go to a friend in this church and I can share my struggle. And it's not, oh, did you hear about Pastor? Let me tell you, I thought he had everything together, but guess what he shared with me? He doesn't have it all together. I don't. I wish I did. I've got areas that I'm struggling with. I've got times where I'm strong and things are going well. I've got times where I feel distant from God. In that, those moments, and I got times where I'm hearing the lies from the enemy. What does it mean? It means that I can go to a brother and say, "Brother, I'm struggling with this." And my brother can say, "Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Let's work together." You know what? I've been there too. This is something that's helped me. Let's pray about it. That's discipline. That's church discipline in action. That's the first step, is that we come alongside and we build each other up. Now, if things aren't received and truth is ignored, then it needs still to be dealt with. But we don't start with slamming somebody. We start with encouraging and loving each other and doing what's best. It's not always easy. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts and minds, and I will pay each of you according to your deeds. Guys, is that a little sobering? I will pay each of you according to your deeds. What we do does matter. How we treat each other matters. The heart of Jezebel says, "I'm in charge. It's my church. You're going to do it my way." Be careful for any leader who is first person all the time. That's me and mine. We got to be careful for that heart which says, "This is my church." Whether it's a leader in the church or somebody else in the church who's trying to get leadership, it's Christ Jesus' church. I'm the pastor. I'm not the leader of the church. I'm one of the elders, but we all follow Christ. And it is very dangerous when this in the leadership gets misused. We have to pray for us, because it's easy to start with success too, especially. When there's more success, it's harder to honor God in leadership. Verses 24 and 25. "Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come." What's he saying? Hold on, guys. If you're following, if you're not giving into this, hold on. It's going to be tough. But hold on to the truth. Hold on. Notice the phrase of the deep things of Satan. It's a little disturbing, isn't it? That indicates that when the church drifts into the areas of moral standards of the world, what becomes a part of it more and more is the rise of mystic and ritual practices. And we have a special connection with God. And oh my goodness, we're a special church. And God really ministers. And he's showed us new truths that most churches don't know. And these spiritually, you see the danger? It's exciting being a part of something new and spiritual. But it's dangerous. People love to feel that they're special or they're following secret and special things. I was on Vashon Island. I was there for many years, and I went to a unity prayer time with all the churches. And on Vashon, the vast majority of the churches don't teach from the Word of God. One of them still has a homosexual female pastor. I had a friend who was a pastor of one of the churches on the island, and he was, after talking with me, he was really going to challenge his church, and he was going to bring up a quote from the Bible, as he put it, a scripture, and pray for him because he didn't know how they would respond. He might lose his job. Guys, as I was at this prayer time, for all the churches in the community. The first person came up, and it was one of the women pastors who was homosexual, and she comes up and she says, "Okay, as we pray, I want you to find your spirit guide." You see, when there's such a danger. When you're hungry for more, when you're wanting the new, man, it's when you start making exceptions, when you start allowing other truths to have as big a voice as the Word of God, pretty soon it becomes a bigger voice than the Word of God. And eventually churches that used to teach and minister the Word of God to the people and bring life to the community are now being impacted by the world and start spreading disease. Guys, it's incredibly difficult to honor Christ at work and in the world. But the message here is hold on. The one who is, verse 26, the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. The one, that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them into pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. Here, this is a quote from Psalms 2. A promise for those who persevere will be spared judgment. It's a reference to the millennium and what's coming and the time where Jesus will come and take his people. Revelations 28:29 says, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The morning star is Jesus. To those who persevere, I give myself, Jesus says. Man. It's a promise of the rapture for the church. It's a promise that Jesus will deliver us, that a time is coming. And it talks about it later in the book of Revelation, where Jesus will come and take us to be with him. Guys, we don't just hope for hope. We hope for Jesus Christ to come back. We know that he's coming back for us. No matter what we face, no matter what challenge, no matter how many people mistreat us for doing what's right, our hope is in Christ Jesus, that we have a home, an eternal home in the presence of God. He knows us and loves us and has given himself for us. Praise God. We're not just struggling to struggle. Guys, if this is all there is, we're to be mocked and pitied. Honestly. But it's not all there is. And so we need to not mock, but we need to reach out to those who don't know the truth yet in love. We need to not work as the world works, which is to, no, we need to bring the truth in love to the people around us. And we need to stand for truth in the church. And guys, it's getting harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder to stand for truth, especially in the area of sexual purity. I mean, most of the church is silent about homosexuality because it's politically incorrect. It's wrong to deal with it. If you say homosexuality is wrong, the names come out quick, don't they? It's not my opinion that homosexuality is wrong. It's God's truth. But homosexuality isn't the only sexual sin. And so we, in the church, we can be pretty hard on homosexuality. Oh, of course it's wrong. Well, what about lust? Lunchtime. We need to have a clear head, don't we? We need to not find the areas that we are okay on and slam. No, there needs to be a humility. There needs to be an understanding. Sexual purity. We were reading downstairs. We're not even to have a hint of sexual impurity. There's some hints in my life. I have times where I have thoughts that aren't appropriate. Anybody else? So some things need to change. Some things need to change. There needs to be some humility too. Okay. But we do need to stand. We need to stand for God's truth. There is a bomb that's hit the United States, and it's pornography. It is destroying. I was shocked to hear those 12 and over, 70% have been exposed to pornography. Over 70% of those 12 and over. Guys, it's hitting our people younger and younger. It's hitting our children. It's becoming normal. It's becoming, you watch TV and it's jokes about pornography. It's nothing. Let's joke about it. Listen. It's no joke. It's no joke. We need to be willing to stand. And there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. I will also give the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Guys, our gift is Christ. What we hope for is Christ in eternity with him. And that morning star is bright and it burns through the sin and the junk of this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so our hope is not in trying harder and getting it right. And if I can just pulling up yourself by your bootstraps and rubbing some dirt on it won't help. It's coming to Christ and saying, forgive me, God, for I have sinned. Turning away from sin and turning to him and saying, I need you. I need you here. Jesus is our morning star. Jesus is our light. He's the light of the world. He's what we hope for. And guys, he will not disappoint. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Let's pray. Amen. As we get ready for prayer, can we stand in prayer? Aaron, can I have you close us in prayer? Thank you, brother.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what we've heard on this morning, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for you are awesome, God. And Lord, you just look down upon us, Lord. And yes, Lord, we are needy. We are broken. We are frail, Lord. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we thank you, Lord, that all things work together for those who love you and called according to your purpose. God, we just pray, Lord, that that we take heed to your word, that we look to you, God, for our strength. Supply us, Lord, with everything we need according to the will and the plan that you have for our lives. Lord, you're awesome. You're great. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the mothers today, Lord, continually. That's just have a special blessing upon them. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. And just thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Guys, please be seated.